This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, and by Hawkeye Steel at Route 138 and I-55 in White City.
Total Confidence Pricing is going on right now at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, and if you don't love it, you can return it. Pre-owned inventory is low, and they're giving top dollar for trade-ins, or they'll buy your vehicle from you, only until September 4th at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community. Since 1946, tax, title, license, and dealer fees extra. Go to ChevyConfidence.com for full details and restrictions. Purchase a 2012 vehicle by September 4th. Not available with some other offers. Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
How do you measure success? Chances are productive fields, a happy family, and a secure future are key parts in the equation. And just as you depend on yourself to take care of the family and farm, you can depend on Farm Credit to help you with your finance needs. For 96 years, we've been helping farm families and agribusinesses maintain the formula for success. Our experience has helped us develop a wide range of credit and financial products and services that you can use to keep your farm running more efficiently and profitably. Nobody understands the financial needs of farming better than Farm Credit. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farming operations. Call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM or find us online at fcsillinois.com. Farm Credit, providing the financial products farmers want with the service you deserve.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Thursday morning in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat now trading at 8.97¾. That's up 1¼. December wheat now trading at 9.18½, up 1½. September corn trading at 8.26½, down 3¾. December corn trading at 8.32, down 2¾. September soybeans now trading at 17.47½, down a half. November beans trading at 17.28½, that is up 3/4. The overnight crude oil market, 76 cents higher at 98.02. The Brent crude, $1.32 higher at 116.23. The December gold contract, $24.30 higher at $1,664.80. The dollar index, 0.104 lower at 81.382. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, September wheat closed at 8.96½, down 4. December wheat closed at 9.17, down a nickel. And March wheat closed at 9.25¼, down 4¾. September corn yesterday closed at 8.30¼, down a penny. December corn closed at 8.34¾, down 4. March corn closed at 8.33¼, down 4½. September soybeans yesterday closed at 17.48, down 5½. November beans closed at 17.27¾, down 4¾. January beans closed at 17.15, down 5½. September soybean meal yesterday, 5.35.70, down 79. October meal closed at 5.26.90, down 56. December meal closed at 5.19.70, down 48. September soybean oil yesterday closed at 56.17, up 60. October oil closed at 56.39, up 62. December oil closed at 56.83, up 61. September oats yesterday closed at 3.93, down 3¾. December oats closed at 3.95½, down 1½. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended slightly lower on Wednesday afternoon. Soybean values fell despite the gains posted in the soybean oil market. Technical trading at the Board of Trade and profit-taking by traders weakened corn, wheat, and soybean futures. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 1 cent lower at 8.21 to 8.37. Soybeans dropped by 4 to 5 cents at 17.53 to 17.66. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 cent lower at 8.35 to 8.61, while soybeans dropped 3 to 7 cents at 17.63 to 17.90. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 3 to 4 cents at 8.42 to 8.65. Soybeans fell by 2 to 5 cents at 17.53 to 17.82. And the wheat bids mostly 4 to 5 cents lower at 8.64 to 8.88. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents lower at 8.15 to 8.22. Soybeans dropped 19 to 25 cents at 17.68 to 17.78. And the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery ended steady to 5 cents higher at 8.12 to 8.26. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids steady to 2 cents lower at 8.16 to 8.24. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by 4 to 5 cents with quotations at 17.78 to 17.80. Soft red winter wheat fell by 4 cents at 8.81 to 8.82, and Milo also 4 cents lower at 7.39 to 7.40. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids range from a low of $8 up to $8.28. New crop soybeans range from $16.96 to $17.15. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $8.20 up to $8.47, with the new crop soybean bids at $17.07 to $17.23. In the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from a low of $8.16 up to $8.60. New crop soybean bids at $17.03 to $17.34, and the new crop wheat for July 13 delivery, those bids range from $8.03 to $8.32. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, October hogs closed at 73.17, down 2.62. December hogs closed at 70.82, down 2.22. February hogs closed at 78.30, down 2.65. August cattle yesterday closed at 119.92, up 27. October cattle closed at 124.47, down 15. And December cattle closed at 128.05, down 12. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at 140.22, up 42 cents. September feeders closed at 141.57, up 45. October feeders closed at 143.02, up 62. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Wednesday, August 22nd. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels and gills closed 95 cents lower. Carcass base price range 73 to 85, weighted average 82.49. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 12,400. Illinois direct brown gilt trade was steady, 56 to 60, a few up to 62, with Illinois direct slaughter sows steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds from 33 to 36. 450 to 550 pounds at 36 to 40. Over 550 pounds at 38 to 41, with a few up to 43. Today's estimated receipts 850 and Tuesday's actuals 1,275. Pork carcass cutout 86.58, that is down $2.98. The estimated daily livestock slaughter and federal inspection, hogs for today 425,000, last week 417,000, a year ago 416,000, week to date of 1,272,000. Cattle for today 123,000, last week 128,000, a year ago 130,000, week to date of 382,000. Box beef cutout values were steady to week on light to moderate demand and moderate offerings. Total movement today, 153 fab loads and 81 trim. Choice, 193.73, down 9 cents. Select, 184.86, and that is down 44 cents. At the United Producers Auction, over at Shelbyville, 491 head sold. Compared to 2 weeks ago, slaughter steers and heifers sold $1.50 to $2 higher. Holstein steers steady. Steers choice 2s to 3s at 116 to 121.75. Holstein steers choice 2s to 3s at 109 and a quarter to 113 and a quarter. Heifers choice 2s to 3s at 116 to 120.75. Slaughter cows breaking type 82 to 85.5. Boning type cows 75 to 81.5. High dressing 82.5 to 86. Lean cows 65 to 72. Slaughter bulls your grade 1s at 80 to 85.5. At the Fairview Livestock Auction on Tuesday, 275 head sold. Compared to 2 weeks ago, slaughter steers and heifers sold 2 to 3 higher. Slaughter cows and bulls steady with a number of fed cows in the offerings. Steers, choice 2s to 3s, 115 to 120.75. High dressing, 121 to 121 and a quarter. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 107.5 to 113 and a quarter. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 115 to 119.75. Slaughter cows, breaking type 80 to 85.75, high dressing 86 and a quarter to 92.5, boning type cows at 74.75 to 79.5, high dressing at 81.5 to 82.5, lean cows 64 to 70, with slaughter bulls your grade ones at 90.75 to 94. Opening report for the Greenville Livestock Auction, estimated receipts 486. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers were trading 50 cents higher, with Holstein steers a dollar lower in a light test. Steers, choice 2s to 3s, 114 to 117. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 108 to 112. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 114.5 to 116.5. For the afternoon National Slaughter Cattle Review, thus far for Wednesday, negotiated cash trade was inactive in the Southern Plains. Nebraska and Western Corn Belt trade was limited on light to moderate demand. Not enough sales in any feeding region for an adequate market test. Negotiated sales week to date of 7,300 head. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Gray Market News Service.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, 180 unchanged. For block cheese, 183 and three quarter unchanged. For barrel cheese, 180 and a half unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, $18.97. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for August, $8.48. For September, $8.26. Corn delivered to Scottville for August, $8.40. And for September, $8.26. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for August, $17.42. For September, $17.18. And we delivered to Scottville for August, $8.46. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield, $8.48. Corn at Scottville, $8.40. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $17.42. Wheat at Scottville, $8.46. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday morning. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Sunny skies today, high temperatures in the mid-90s and light south winds. Mostly clear tonight, low temperatures in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, Friday, partly cloudy, the high in the mid-90s. The extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy, a chance of a shower Saturday night through Monday. Low temperatures in the upper 60s, high temperatures in the low 80s. Partly cloudy skies, 57 degrees at the Weather Center. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. First of all, in our farm news today, on Wednesday, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. As the corn harvest begins to pick up steam, he talked about things producers need to keep in mind.
Well, certainly the big concern, and I went to a couple of field days recently, and a talk at each of the meetings was the aflatoxin, the potential aflatoxin problem. And, you know, it's going to be so variable. There will be some fields that might have potential aflatoxin problems and some won't. The question was asked, you know, how do I determine whether or not there is aflatoxin? And, you know, my thinking is go to the field that has the greatest chance of kernel damage. In other words, earworm or bird damage or whatever, and that's the field that's most likely to have some type of aflatoxin problem. However, that isn't necessarily the case, but, you know, if you want to start out and try to get some idea if aflatoxin is there, I would go to those types of fields. Anytime there's kernel damage, you know, that organism can get inside and feed on the protein within the kernel, and it emits, you know, the aflatoxin, which is a carcinogen material. So we really don't know the extent of it, but certainly there's, you know, a greater potential here than there has been the past several years.
Would that aflatoxin and those other toxins that might be a problem, will that be a concern later on if you're going to feed the corn that you shell this year?
Well, you know, with the aflatoxin, the livestock feeders can use this. They can blend it with good quality corn and feed it. And, of course, one of the things that needs to be done with aflatoxin, if it is present, you know, in your grain, is to get it dried as quickly as possible down to, you know, at least 14%, maybe even drier than that, because the organism will not grow in drier conditions than that. So it can be used. The trade, you know, is still a little bit undecided what to do with that, depending upon how much aflatoxin grain that they're going to have to be dealing with. But there's going to be a market for it at some point. It will be needed for livestock feed. So, you know, if you can't get rid of it immediately, you know, you might have to wait and hang on to it and get rid of it later, primarily for cattle feed.
Another thing that producers probably need to be concerned about with the quality of the crop are settings on their combines.
Well, that's, you know, whenever you have unusual conditions like we're seeing this year, you know, the very small ear, the very small kernel size, the rubbery ears, it's going to be very difficult to get the grain shelled off of that ear. And, you know, they may have to, you know, check their stripper plates and the other settings on the combine to make sure that the adequate, you know, the grain is coming off the ear. But, you know, there is a suggestion that if there is aflatoxin out there, the smaller kernels might have the greater concentration of aflatoxin. Maybe it's better just to allow those kernels to blow out the back end of the combine. So I'm not sure. It's you know, you just have to kind of use your best judgment, get out once in a while and check, you know, behind the combine, see how much grain is being left in the field, and then adjust the settings accordingly. So it's going to be, you know, kind of a slow harvest in that respect. There's not going to be many bushels handled, but a slow harvest in determining, you know, what settings to make on the combine.
You mentioned those aflatoxin, possibly aflatoxin-tainted kernels going out the back of the combine. Will that be a problem in for next year?
Well, potentially it could be a problem. I know, you know, there could be some volunteer corn coming up, but as early as it is, you know, there might be quite a few green corn fields out there to allow, you know, those kernels to germinate and emerge. And maybe with some fall tillage, they can be destroyed then before wintertime. So there's, you know, there's potential for maybe a little bit more volunteer corn next year. But as early as harvest is, there's probably going to be some growth yet this fall, and the farmers will be able to handle that with some tillage. And then, of course, we've got some herbicides to deal with it next year as well. So will be a problem, but it's nothing that we can't manage for.
And that was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. The United States Department of Agriculture issued its weekly crop progress and condition reports on Monday. Chief Crop Statistician Brad Schwab has this week's report for the state of Illinois.
Statewide temperatures averaged a pleasant, below normal, 68.7 degrees, while rainfall accumulations were reported 26 one-hundredths of an inch above normal, totaling 1.1 inches for the seven-day period ending Sunday, August 19th. Corn in the dough stage was reported at 97%, compared to 84% 1 year ago and 79% for the five-year average. 80% was reported in the dent stage, and this compares to 46% 1 year ago and 39% for the five-year average. Corn in the mature stage advanced to 25%, compared to only 2% 1 year ago and 4% for the five-year average. Harvest progress now stands at 3%, well ahead of normal for this time of year. The crop reporting district leading the state in the corn mature category was the Southwestern District, reporting 55%. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated at 42% very poor, 31% poor, 22% fair, and only 5% as good. Soybeans, setting pods, advanced to 94%, compared to 86% a year ago and 83% for the five-year average. 7% of the crop was turning yellow, compared to 1% last year and 2% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in the soybean turning yellow category was the East Southeastern District, reporting 11%. Overall, the state's soybean crop was rated in 26% very poor, 25% poor, 35% fair, 13% good, and 1% excellent. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
On the homepage of the Pork Checkoff website, pork.org, resources are available to deal with the drought. Pork Checkoff Vice President of Science and Technology, Dr. Paul Sundberg, says this is a priority issue.
What we're doing with Checkoff is we've got staff that meets regularly to look at what other, all of the different resources that are available, all of the different things that we can offer producers for help for this drought crisis, because it really is a crisis.
The drought-related resources on the website are a one-stop source of information. He says some of that information is common sense for producers, but the resources still are very helpful.
There are so many regional variations in feed availability and variations in corn quality that it's important to get with the people in your region, the extension services, the nutrition folks, the nutritional advisors, the feed sources, to do that regional and local investigation, because that's one of the ways that producers are going to be able to get through this.
And for more information, producers can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. Go to pork.org, or you can phone 800-456-PORK. Recently, the legislature in Taiwan relaxed some regulations that may be able to increase U.S. beef exports to that Asian nation. From the United States Meat Export Federation, Joe Sheely reports.
Regulators in Taiwan are moving toward a more science-based policy on the use of ractopamine in the production of both imported and domestic beef. USMEF Senior Vice President Joel Haggard says this change will definitely help reverse the downward trend in U.S. beef exports to Taiwan, but says rebuilding the market will take time.
Taiwan's always been a really nice market for us. Depending on the year, it was in the top five volume-wise. They were setting records. And then we had this whole ractopamine thing explode in our face. It caused quite a stir among consumers and the media and activists, but I would say that maybe more centered on the activist side, so the consumer may not be as traumatized as they were in Korea, for those listeners who understood how bad Korea was affected. But we still have a major rebuilding effort ahead of us. Through this whole episode, we've been running a number of food safety seminars and messaging to all our key stakeholders, from the importers to retailers and food service operators. They're confident. They understand the safety of the product, its integrity and its quality. But it is going to take time to rebuild the channels. You know, there will be some initial hesitation to go full bore in terms of volumes. It's been in the news a lot over the last year. And so we are going to have to test in these initial months to see how the consumers respond at the store and in the restaurant.
This year's lower pork exports to Taiwan are mainly the result of higher domestic supplies, but Haggard says a science-based policy for pork is also in order.
The Taiwan pork import market is really dependent on the domestic price and the supply and demand situation there, but we've definitely missed some sales there because of the ractopamine issue. We need them to establish an MRL for pork. All the scientific reasoning is out there for them to proceed to do so. Politically, it's going to be a challenge for them, but they need to step up to the plate.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org.
Special guests on the Saturday Farm Show will be Dennis and Cindy Kappel of Silex, Missouri. They operate the Hope Givers Ranch, which helps troubled young men through working with horses and other animals. The Kappels will also hold a cowboy church at the Tri-County Antique Club's Olden Days Festival near Jerseyville Sunday morning at 9. More information about the Hope Givers Ranch is available online at hopegiversranch.org. The Saturday Farm Show will be heard at 6:15 and 12:45 Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. If you have questions about the care, feeding, or training of your horses or ponies, you can contact Bianca Massa of New Douglas at massa_bianca@yahoo.com. Later, she will answer your questions on a Saturday program. Once again, the address, massa_bianca@yahoo.com. Right now, an electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade. September wheat now trading at $9. That's up $3.50. December wheat trading at 9.20¾, up 3¾. September corn now trading at 8.28¼, down 2. December corn trading at 8.33¾, down a penny. September beans trading at 17.48¼, that's up a half. November beans trading at 17.29, that is up 1¼. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.